In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to this reflection for the first Sunday of Lent. It's March 8th, 2025. And you know, Lent always feels like a reset button for me. It's time to reflect, repent, and really try to draw closer to God.
Yeah.
So let's dive into these readings for today and see what they have to say to us.
It's interesting you mention a reset button because the first reading from Deuteronomy talks about the Israelites bringing the first fruits of their harvest to the Lord. It was their way of acknowledging that everything they had came from God.
That's a powerful image, especially since they had just escaped slavery in Egypt. It wasn't just about a few pieces of fruit. It was about recognizing God's provision in their lives.
Exactly. And the passage really drives home the transformation they went through from a small group wandering in the desert to a nation great, strong, and numerous, all thanks to God.
So what are our first fruits today? I mean, most of us aren't farmers.
That's a great question. It's not just about literal crops. It's about considering what's most precious to us, what we value the most. It could be our time, our talents, our relationships, and how we're using those gifts in service to God.
I like that. Instead of just thinking about giving things up for Lent, it's about giving back to God what he's already given to us.
Absolutely. It's about acknowledging that he's the source of everything good in our lives.
Okay, that leads perfectly into Psalm 91, which is all about trusting in God's protection.
Yes. And what's fascinating about Psalm 91 is that it wasn't just a comforting poem. It was likely used by ancient Israelites as a prayer for protection from real physical dangers like disease or attacks from enemies.
So it was like their security blanket in a world that felt very unpredictable.
Precisely. And you see this incredible sense of confidence in the psalm where it says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your tent." But it doesn't stop at physical protection. It goes deeper, talking about God's angels guarding you in all your ways.
So it's about a kind of all-encompassing protection for our bodies, our minds, and our souls.
That's a great way to put it. And this psalm is a perfect reminder for Lent because it's a season where we can feel vulnerable, like we're facing spiritual battles. This psalm assures us that we're not alone in those battles. God is with us.
Now, shifting gears a bit, the second reading from Romans caught my attention because it talks about salvation being available to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. That feels really powerful, especially in a world that can feel so divided.
It is powerful. And in Paul's time, that was a radical message. It meant breaking down barriers between Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, everyone. He was saying that God's love and mercy were accessible to all, regardless of their background or social standing.
It makes you think about who we might be excluding, consciously or unconsciously, from experiencing God's love in our own communities.
You're right. It's a challenging message, even today. It pushes us to examine our hearts and see if we're truly living out that radical inclusivity that Paul preached.
So we've got gratitude for God's provision, trust in his protection, and the reminder that his love is available to everyone. And now we come to the gospel, which throws us right into the desert where Jesus is being tempted by the devil.
Yes. This story from Luke 4 is so relatable because it shows us that even Jesus, the Son of God, faced temptation. He gets hungry after 40 days of fasting. He's offered power and glory. He's even tempted to test God's protection.
And it's not just any temptation. These are temptations that speak to some of our deepest desires for comfort, security, recognition, and maybe even a little bit of drama.
Absolutely. And I think what's really important here is how Jesus responds to each temptation. He doesn't get into an argument with the devil or try to outsmart him. He simply quotes scripture, using the word of God as his weapon against these lies.
So it's like he's saying, don't listen to the whispers of doubt and fear. Listen to the truth of God's word.
Exactly. And his first response, one does not live on bread alone, really ties back to our earlier discussion about first fruits. It's a reminder that our physical needs are important, but they're not the only things that matter. We need spiritual nourishment, too.
And it's not a coincidence that that same line is also the verse before the gospel today, right? It's like we're being hit over the head with this message.
You got it. It's a message that's woven throughout these readings. We're called to nourish our souls, to seek sustenance beyond the material world.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about gratitude, trust, inclusivity, and the importance of scripture in facing temptation. What do you think of the overarching message God is trying to convey to us through these readings?
I think God is reminding us that Lent is about going deeper. It's about examining those areas of our lives where we're still holding back, where we haven't fully surrendered to His will.
That's interesting. It's not just about giving something up, but about making space for God to work in us.
Exactly. And that can be uncomfortable. It's like Jesus in the desert. He was pushed to his limits, physically and spiritually. But through those trials, he emerged stronger and more connected to his mission.
It makes you think about the temptations we face today.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be as dramatic as turning stones into bread, but they can still pull us away from God.
Absolutely. Think about the constant pressure to achieve, the allure of material possessions, the temptation to compare ourselves to others. These are the subtle whispers of the devil in our modern world.
And like Jesus, our best defense is the Word of God. He used Scripture to counter each temptation, reminding himself of the truth. It makes me wonder, how often do we turn to Scripture for guidance in our own lives?
That's a great point. It's so easy to get caught up in the noise of everyday life and forget to nourish ourselves with God's Word.
And speaking of nourishment, we can't forget about the sacrament of reconciliation. It's such a powerful way to experience God's mercy and start fresh, especially during Lent.
You know, it's interesting how some people view confession as this scary or burdensome obligation, but it's actually a gift. It's a chance to unburden ourselves, to lay our sins at the foot of the cross, and to receive forgiveness and healing.
I love how you put that. It's like hitting the reset button on our relationship with God.
Yeah.
It allows us to move forward with a clean slate.
Exactly. And it's not just about confessing our sins. It's about receiving God's grace to help us resist those temptations in the future. It's about becoming more like Christ.
Speaking of becoming more like Christ, the second reading from Romans really emphasized the universality of God's love. Paul reminds us that salvation is for everyone, not just a select few.
That's a message that's so relevant today, especially with all the division and polarization in the world. It challenges us to step outside of our comfort zones and reach out to those who are different from us to see the image of God in every person we encounter.
And that takes humility, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To let go of our prejudices and see everyone through the lens of God's love.
You're absolutely right. And it's not always easy. But the readings today encourage us to keep striving for that radical inclusivity that Paul preached.
So we have this call to go deeper, to nourish our souls with Scripture, to receive God's mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation, and to embrace a spirit of inclusivity. It feels like we're being given a roadmap for Lent, a path towards transformation.
I think you're right, and it's not a one-size-fits-all roadmap. Each of us has our own unique journey to take.
But what unites us is our desire to draw closer to God. And these readings give us some practical tools and powerful reminders to help us along the way.
You know, when you think about the Israelites bringing their first fruits, it wasn't just a one-time event. It was something they did year after year, a continual act of recognizing God's provision.
So it's not just about what we do during Lent. It's about cultivating a lifestyle of gratitude, trust, and surrender to God.
Precisely. Lent is a special season of grace, a time to focus on those things. But the lessons we learn, the habits we form, should stay with us throughout the year.
It reminds me of that verse from Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the qualities we should be striving for, not just during Lent, but in every season of our lives.
That's a great connection. And those fruits don't just appear overnight. They take time to cultivate, to nurture. Just like a farmer patiently tends to his crops, we need to patiently tend to our spiritual lives.
It makes me think about the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. The younger son runs off and squanders his inheritance, but eventually he comes to his senses and returns home, filled with remorse. And the father doesn't hesitate to welcome him back with open arms.
It's a beautiful reminder of God's unconditional love and mercy. No matter how far we've strayed, no matter how many times we've messed up, God is always waiting for us to return to him.
And that's what Lent is all about, isn't it? It's about returning to our Father's house, acknowledging our need for him and allowing him to fill us with his love and grace.
Yes, and that journey of return can be challenging. It requires us to confront our weaknesses, to acknowledge our need for forgiveness, and to make amends for the ways we've hurt others and ourselves.
And those are the moments when we need to lean into that trust in God's protection that Psalm 91 talks about, knowing that even when we feel weak and vulnerable, God's love surrounds us and his strength sustains us.
I think that's a key takeaway from these readings. Even in the midst of our struggles, even when we feel lost and alone, God is with us every step of the way.
It's a message of hope, a reminder that we're not on this journey alone. We have each other, we have the church, and most importantly, we have a loving God who desires nothing more than for us to experience his fullness.
So as we continue through this Lenten season, let's remember those words from Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's such a powerful reminder. We are held in God's love no matter what.
And that love is what empowers us to face our temptations, to embrace vulnerability, to reach out to those on the margins, and to keep striving for that deeper connection with God that we long for.
So where do we go from here? How do we take all of these insights and apply them to our everyday lives?
Well, I think the first step is to really take those first fruits to heart. What can we offer to God this Lent? It could be a commitment to daily prayer, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Or maybe it's finally reaching out to that person you've been avoiding, offering them forgiveness or seeking reconciliation.
It could even be as simple as being more intentional with our words, choosing kindness over criticism, especially online where it's so easy to be snarky.
Exactly. It's about aligning our actions with our faith, about letting our love for God spill over into our interactions with others.
And I think it's also about recognizing our own need for God's mercy. The sacrament of reconciliation isn't just a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a chance to encounter the healing power of God's love.
You know, there's a beautiful line in Psalm 51 that says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's what confession does. It helps us to start fresh, to realign our hearts with God's will.
It's like we're given a new pair of glasses to see the world through, a lens of grace and forgiveness. And when we experience that kind of mercy, it should make us more merciful towards others, more willing to extend grace even when it's hard.
Absolutely. And that ties back to the message of inclusivity from the second reading. God's love is boundless. It doesn't discriminate. So why should we?
We're called to break down those walls of judgment and prejudice, to see the image of God in every person we meet.
Which, let's be honest, can be challenging in today's world. It's easier to stay in our comfortable bubbles, surrounded by people who think and believe like us. But the gospel challenges us to step outside of those bubbles, to embrace the diversity of God's creation.
It's about expanding our hearts to make room for everyone, just like God makes room for each of us, flaws and all.
You know, I think that's what's so powerful about the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert. He shows us that it's okay to be vulnerable, to acknowledge our weaknesses, and to rely on God's strength to help us overcome them.
He didn't try to fight the devil on his own. He used the word of God as his weapon, reminding himself of the truth. It's a reminder that we don't have to do this alone. We have scripture, we have the sacraments, we have each other, and most importantly, we have God's constant presence in our lives.
And that's what I hope you take away from this reflection today, that Lent is not about deprivation. It's about discovering the abundance of God's love and mercy. It's about allowing him to transform our hearts, to renew our spirits, and to equip us to live as his disciples, not just during these 40 days, but every day of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for this reflection on the first Sunday of Lent. We encourage you to attend Mass regularly during this Lenten season and to experience the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation.
May this Lent be a time of spiritual growth and renewal for you.